Welcome back to the Radio Academy podcast. I'm your host, Georgie Jameson, and this week we're answering your questions about the Arias. Dixie Stewart, Acting MD of the Radio Academy, put all your questions to Bob Shannon, Chair of Judges, and Victoria Easton Riley, Head of Audio and Events at BBC Scotland, and a longtime trustee and friend of the Radio Academy. She's also a head judge of the Arias. Right, let's get into your questions.
Bob and Vic, you've been involved in these awards for a long time now. They're often referred to the Oscars of radio. Can you tell us why are they so important to the industry?
They're often called the Oscars of radio because they are the blue ribboned event for our industry and always have been, frankly, as far as I've been involved in radio and audio as well. I think that we're really, really good at doing audio and radio in the UK. It's really important. There's a moment in the year where we recognise that fact, we reward excellence, and we put people on a pedestal who've done brilliant work, whether that's across the public sector or across the commercial sector. We have an extraordinary rich capability, and these awards recognise that fact.
I remember the very first time that I entered the Radio Academy Awards back in the days of the Sonys and the sort of Grosvenor House days. And I remember how very special that very first nomination was. And I didn't sort of really fully understand what it was or how special it was, because there's obviously a lot of industry awards around. But for me, as soon as I was in that room surrounded by so many radio greats, the magic just came alive within me of how important these awards are. And it's, I'm with a new team now at BBC Scotland, and sort of I keep saying to them, is these awards are really important to me. And I think as well, it's a really nice chance for sort of smaller stations where it's sort of community, smaller podcasts, you know, regional, local radio who can sort of stand shoulder to shoulder against the big national networks. And actually, it's their chance to shine and their chance to be seen also. So it's a chance for everyone to almost be in a level playing field and be able to showcase the excellent work that they've done over the last 12 months.
So we're here today to answer questions. And this is one that came up in our recent webinar. For you, Vic, and it was, what are the key features of the best entry that you've ever made?
So for me, it's sort of something that I always say to my team, and we're doing it now, because I do feel it's quite a particular skill. You can be the world's best radio producer, but actually putting an entry together is really something unique. Points that I always say to people are, the audio needs to make you feel something, whether it's that it's laughter, it's happiness, it's joy, or whether it's emotion, so thumps through something really powerful, or whether it's something really frustrating, say it's a community issue or whatever it might be. The audio should be really, really powerful. It should make you feel something. Think less about the tactics and the skills of radio a lot of the time. I remember once someone saying to me, a breakfast entry should always have a time check in there and some travel or weather to showcase. No, that's not what these awards are about. We want to see and hear the very best audio that's across the country. And why is audio so special? Because it makes you feel something and it brings out emotion. Make sure every clip is worthy. Make sure every clip is absolutely the best thing that could showcase what your content is, what you do, what your presenter does, what your producers do. Don't worry about the smaller granular details of it. It's just think big. Those are the sort of few clips that just make you burst with pride about what you've achieved.
Bob, as Chair of Judges, what would you add to that?
That's an absolutely brilliant précis of the approach that everybody should be taking. The point about emotion is probably the thing I most would take away from what Vic said. Great audio makes you feel, and sometimes it takes you through contrasting emotions. I think that's the really key thing for everybody to bear in mind.
Brilliant. Now, Bob, you joined as Chair of Judges last year. What changes did you make then, and why were they necessary?
Every year, there are a few tweaks and changes to the awards. I, like Vic, have been involved since, well, way back in the Sony Radio Awards days. And there was always a clamour for the categories, the rubrics to change in order to keep up with the times. And of course, in the last 10 years or so, our industry has grown and changed almost exponentially. But our awards not to change would be weird. I think there's always been a bit of a pressure for there to be fewer categories, clearer categories for everybody to know exactly how they can show their best wares, and also clarity around what the entry requirements are, what the judging criteria will be. And I think last year we made quite a step change in terms of numbers and criteria. I think the crucial thing is that we need to reflect the changes and sophistication of the industry, but also simplify the process and the guidelines for everybody who wants to take part. So weirdly, probably our industry has become more complex and multifaceted, but we're trying to make everything a little bit simpler and more straightforward for people to enter. So up to 15 minutes of audio, that can be one long clip or it can be a series of clips, up to 500 words on the story of the audio. So that might be audience figures, growth, the impact of what we're listening to. What's the context for what we're listening to? What's the track list, if there's a track list that we should be taking into consideration? Just give us the surround sound simply to what's there. And if there are pieces that have appeared, for example, on social media, which are an important integral part of the program offer, give us the supporting links to those. That sounds more complex than ever before, but frankly, it's designed to give you as simple and as brief a set of ways of presenting your best offer as we possibly can. And by the way, all the details of all of this are on the website, so people don't need to be taking notes. But, you know, just 15 minutes of audio is an incredibly tight way of presenting the story of your program or your presenter, the thing that you want to show us and get us to consider. And so do think about the ways in which you describe the content that we're listening to and the context that it goes into.
Vic, you and your teams were entering last year. Did you find it a simple process?
Yes. You know, I do think it really is key to make sure that you're entering the right category. And I do think that we have made it a lot simpler. I think Bob's right. I think it's a lot clearer now. I think potentially in the past, we didn't quite have that. And there was sometimes a lot of confusion, but I think we really simplified that. And just make sure it's not a lot of reading. So when you're going through each category, just make sure that you fit into that. You know, it's a small paragraph. Just make sure your program fits into that slot. You're not missing out on where you should be somewhere else and get disqualified because you don't meet the regulations for that category. So that's all I would say, is just make sure that you're really reading that, the full description of what you're entering, make sure it matches, make sure you're following all the sort of rules that we have to adhere to, such as, like, you know, it's from January to December, all these sorts of things, because it's I've seen a lot of that in the past as well, and as a judge of the ones that have to be disqualified because they don't quite meet the criteria. So make sure you're fully briefed and you know inside out what's required of you and for your audio.
You've talked about the supporting statement as well and the supporting material. And we've had a couple of questions about that. One, what can I submit as additional supporting information? And another, is the supporting statement the same as the story? Bob, what would you say about that?
Here's a tip. When you're judging one of these categories, you could be listening to 20, 30, 40, 50 entries of 15 minutes long, and actually having the supporting statement to go alongside of each of these entries, where we can really learn why you think this audio is award-winning, is absolutely critical. And if I'm honest, I think sometimes people focus so much on the 15 minutes of content and then fill in the forms alongside it. And I think it's worth taking the time to give us a really clear and compelling understanding of what it is we're listening to. If you're listening as a judge to one of these large categories, you're just bouncing from entry to entry to entry, and you don't want to miss the good stuff. And I think the supporting statement is hugely important to each of the entries.
What about you, Vic? You've judged a lot of these. What are you looking for in the supporting material?
So I think the supporting material is really important. It's a really good chance to really describe who you are and who your audience is. But again, it's one of the biggest tips that I give, which is a really simple one, is don't go too jargon heavy. Everyone can fall into that. You know, I would say probably 95% of the supporting material documents that I read are using all the same language to try and say about they've got highly engaged audiences and, you know, the connection that they have on multi-platform. And like, it's all these sort of words that you find that when you're reading up to 50 entries, for example, and you're reading them all, you're getting that same language. It's just actually be normal. You know, that's what radio is about, isn't it? This is what audio is about, is what connects with people is just being relatable and being authentic. Just try and sound like you. Try and sound like a normal person. Don't try and fluff it up too much, because everyone will be going for that same sort of strategy. So speak normal. Make sure that you're really pinpointing what your USP is that's different to, you know, because everyone thinks they've got a connection with their audience. That's why you're entering that audio, because you think it's fantastic. But what makes yours different from the other 30 that are going to be sitting in a file somewhere. Just I would suggest don't stick everything through ChatGPT because it might potentially come out all the same. Be you. What makes you? What makes you relatable? What makes you unique? And focus on that.
Brilliant. So here's a question I think that you've already answered. It is, if a radio show has used material on their socials, can we upload those videos as part of the entry separate from the audio? So that's a firm yes, isn't it? Because that would be part of the supporting material. Can say you can only load up to 3 assets, digital assets like that. And the judges will only listen to the first 2 minutes of them. So there is a selection to be made. But yes, of course, you can do that. Question for you, Bob. Who are the judges and how do you ensure that the judging process is fair? Also, somebody's asked, where can I find the judging criteria?
Well, everything is available on the website, radioacademy.org/arias. The judges are from all corners of the radio and audio industry. Actually, this is probably, the fairness of judging is probably one of the most kind of vexed topics for us when we're planning how we present the arias each year. And a huge amount of effort goes on to finding, I think it's around 200 senior audio professionals. A huge effort goes on to try and find, you've got expertise to manage the amazing array of different categories that we have to judge. And a huge amount of effort goes into making sure that all corners of our industry are represented and balanced. So the categories are very well balanced across different sectors of the industry. I've been a judge and a head judge, and Vig is a head judge. One of my observations would be that the people who I've ever worked alongside on deciding who's going to get the gold, the silver, the bronze in each category, they kind of leave their partisanship behind. They come as audio professionals with a lot of experience, a lot of understanding of their subject. And there have been fantastic discussions and debates in different categories over the years with real commitment, real intelligence, and lots of brilliant perspectives brought to bear. So I actually think the judging panels of senior people across our industry are an amazing testament to UK audio. And most of these people are giving up their time, a considerable amount of time, just for the benefit of all of us so that we have this Oscars moment. And of course, they come with very different areas of expertise and they bring that to bear across all of the sectors. And all of our judges are going to listen to all of the entries. They're going to read all of the submissions. They're going to look at the links that come in if they come in to augment each of the entries. And then what they're going to do is they're going to score them against the same criteria, which will be agreed with the head judge, which primarily is around content, creativity, production, and the impact of the program. They're going to share them and then they're going to distill those and send those into the central arias committee. It's an incredibly open and collaborative process. And the best people and the most experienced people in the business always want to be a part of it.
And that's your experience too, Vic. You've done this an awful lot.
Yeah, I have, yeah. And something else that I think is really unique is this is a chance for your audio. You won't know who your judges are on the panel, but they are people who have been around. They'll be very experienced. They'll be a cross-section of commercial or BBC or producers or journalistic backgrounds. It really varies right across the industry. But it's a chance for you to get your programme, your content, your audio to people who might not necessarily come across it. And that's wonderful, right? It's someone who's going to sit down, dedicated time, and listen to your hard work. It also really pulls our industry together. So I was working for Bauer last year, and now I work for the BBC. But a couple of years ago, I was head judge for a category, which I won't mention. The person who got the gold, I was absolutely overwhelmed by the audio I heard. I mean, I just was blown over by it. I was so excited by it. And I met the person who got gold, and I said to him, I was just like, I love what you do. And anyway, it turns out he's now here and he's almost sort of like part of my team now. And I'm meeting him today to chat about what we're entering this year. So this is a really nice chance to just show people how hard you work and how good you are. So it's just really special.
Oh, thank you. It's brilliant to hear about those connections. A couple of questions here about timings, which I think I can answer, actually. My programme aired in several parts over December 2025 and January 26. Can I enter? And if you are a new presenter duo who debuted in 2025, would that qualify for entering the best newcomer category? The answer, I'd say, in both cases is a certain yes, but obviously you can only enter material that was broadcast in 2025. Any material that was broadcast in 2026, you're going to have to save for next year's awards. Another question here. I'm busy uploading information for two entries for Best Speech Entertainment Award, show or presenter. My executive would like to know if we can enter our podcast twice, once for the show and once for the presenter, or is it only one entry? Bob, what would you advise?
I think I'd advise one entry. You need to think hard about what you're entering, what the category is, and why you're entering it. I think to enter basically the same thing for both, because it could be either show or presenter, might mean you fall between stools. I would make your decision about what is the better thing for you to enter and then go for it and make everything reflect that specific choice, show or presenter. That's my view.
I've actually had an exact sort of conversation with people that I know who want to enter very similar content for this is very obviously BBC language, but people who work in audio for different stations, so who provide content for, say, Radio 4 and Radio Scotland or whatever. So it's the same with that, is don't keep putting in very similar content with the same sort of show, the same sort of team, but across different networks. Is pick the one that you think is the strongest and focus on that.
Brilliant. Thanks, Vic. And here's a question for you. There are fewer local categories to enter. Should a local show focus more into the grassroots section?
No. Aim high. Go for the big ones, is what I would say. And sort of lovely example of that was the team that I used to work with. They've won Best Breakfast Show back to back. And that was the fourth one breakfast show, who are an Edinburgh-based station and who are the best in the business. When we won the very first time, we couldn't believe it. And we were up against the big national networks, of course. And then we went down last year after a nomination. The conversation was very much, well, it can't happen again, can it? Where it's not going to be 2 years in a row for a regional station or a local station, commercial station to win against these huge BBC stations. And we did. And we celebrated a lot that night. If you really believe that your product's good enough, that's absolute proof that how this judging is done, how it's done fairly, and how it's absolutely possible. You know, if you think that you fit into the category with the grassroots categories, absolutely do it. But if you really believe and you really think that your entry is sitting and it makes you smile every time you hear it, then absolutely go for it and aim for the stars, I would say.
Brilliant. I like the idea of that celebration. It's a very important part of the art. Bob, is there a question here? Can external people vote for you? Or once the nomination has been made, is it all in the hands of the judges?
It's all in the hands of the judges in every category except the category for Radio Times Moment of the Year, which is exactly as it would suggest. We ask all Academy members if they'd like to suggest their favourite audio moment from, in this case, 2025. And that's an audio moment they may have worked on, but it may be one they just heard. And then there will be a judging panel selected from across the existing judging panels who will select a kind of top 10 of those audio moments, and then the Radio Times readers will vote on which one is going to win the ARIA. Only through the Radio Times Moment of the Year do we get the votes of the public. All the rest are decided by your fellow professionals.
And an important question here, do you have to be a member of the Radio Academy to enter the awards?
Yeah, you've got to be a member of the Radio Academy in order to enter any of the categories. And again, if you want to know more about the memberships, then all the information is available at radioacademy.org for you.
Now, this is an important question as well, which I think I can answer. Is there any help available to content creators who can't afford the entry fees? I should say the Radio Academy has teamed up with Podcasting Seriously to provide support to independent BIPOC and LGBTQI+ audio producers. The Podcasting Seriously Awards Fund accepts reimbursement applications on a rolling basis, so you can apply any time for them. And if you want more information, as Bob says, that's on the Radio Academy website, or you could go to the podcastingseriously.com/fund and do. That's a wonderful, wonderfully generous offer. So thank you, Podcasting Seriously, for that. Finally, just to wrap up, lots of questions have come in asking what the judges are looking for in an entry. One of them says, people say lead with the best audio to hook the judges in and stop them getting bored. Is that still a thing? Vic, what do you think? But I'd love to hear from both of you. Just top tips on what the judges are looking for.
Just figure out what's unique about you. What is it? What makes you special? What can make you different? What can, you know, think about as well as how anything you enter can connect with people who potentially haven't heard your audio before. So whereas, you know, you want to think about what makes you unique, but also the panel of judges may never have heard your organization, your station, your podcast before. Just make sure it always makes sense. Don't go so in depth that something that maybe your listeners know about every day and hear about every day and it makes perfect sense to them. But if you put that into a cast of judges, is always assume they don't know who you are. If it doesn't make sense, don't go with it. You can also use the track listing, I think is really important as well, just to add, because I certainly find that when I'm listening to entries, I follow the track listing to make sure I know exactly what's going on. So you can use that, but certainly just make sure that it can make sense to anyone who doesn't know who you are, because there'll at least be one or two judges on the panel who won't. So always think of it like that.
Brilliant. Bob, what would you add to that?
Think about how you make a radio program. I don't think you'd lead with your dull bits. On the other hand, think about how people are actually judging. They may be sitting and over a period of time, they're going to be listening to 30, 40 different 15-minute segments or extracts from the things that people most want to shout about. Think about the way you want to present that. I'm kind of a great believer in grabbing the attention of your audience / judges early on. Don't do it in a really gratuitous way because they'll see through that. I'm taken by what Victoria just said about her experience of being overwhelmed by being impressed and excited by listening to an entry. When you're judging, you kind of know when you've got one of those special programs to listen to. And I do sometimes think people can throw away some of their best bits. So within reason, make sure you lead well and arrest the attention of the audience or the judges, whilst always being really authentic about what you're presenting to us as well, not gimmicky.
Can I just add as well, Dixie, just quickly, as I would say, make sure you're archiving now for next year. Archiving is hugely important, and that's something I find as well, is when I start working with a new team, is amazing how many people don't do that. We should be archiving this week, today, for the entries that we're making in 12 months' time, and make sure that you've got your own way of doing it. How do you label your audio? Because there's nothing worse sitting in January thinking, when did we do that huge event? Or when did we have that link? And you're scrolling through. It adds so much time on. So do it now, and it'll help yourself in 12 months.
I totally agree with that. I think that sometimes it's a trite thing to say, but the best way to approach this process is to know what your best story is. And so many people, I think, get to the new year and go, okay, what did we were great, weren't we? What did we have? And then they try and dredge up their memories. I worked with one team that just set up a simple WhatsApp group. And as they listened, as they made content and they heard things going out, they just logged as a group collectively what was happening on their program. So that the process, which can be done on a weekly, a monthly, but not an annual basis, the process of collecting content was so much simpler. Then they were really choosing what their best audio was rather than trying to remember what their best audio was.
Brilliant advice. And thank you. Thank you both. That's wonderful. And I think, what can we say? Good luck to everyone who's putting their ARIAs entries. We're already getting lots in, actually. So, but good luck to everyone in this process. It really is a joyful thing.
A big thank you for all your questions and to Victoria and Bob for answering them all. If you have any others, please send them to arias@radioacademy.org and the team will get back to you. Entries for the ARIAs closes at 1 minute to midnight on February the 11th and they cost £65 plus VAT. Nominations will be announced in April ahead of the award ceremony in May, and we'll keep you posted in our newsletter and on our website, radioacademy.org/ARIAs. Both Bob Shennan and Victoria Easton Riley have been trustees of the Academy, and we are currently looking for expressions of interest for two new trustees. Go to radioacademy.org/trustees/expressions of interest 2025 for more details. Our next Foot in the Door event is on the 12th of March at the University of Essex in Colchester. Tickets are £12 for non-members and £6 for members of the Academy. And this is a fantastic event for anyone wanting to get into the audio industry. Tickets are on sale now at radioacademy.org/training. I'll see you next week.